The round of 16 got underway on Tuesday and two classic Champions League clubs recorded narrow first leg wins. In France, six-time winners Bayern beat Paris thanks to another big Kingsley Coman goal against his former club. AC Milan have lifted the trophy on seven occasions. They beat Tottenham on their return to the knockout stage. We'll review it all and we'll look ahead to Wednesday's action, where more drama is guaranteed. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott and it is good to be back. The wait between the group stage and the round of 16 was longer than normal this time around, but it was well worth it. Confirmed round of 16 first leg results from Tuesday then. Paris Saint-Germain 0, Bayern 1 and Milan 1, Tottenham 0. The European football expert Kevin Hatchard is alongside me. It was a pretty good beginning to cagey games. It wasn't all out attack all of the time, but two clubs who will be very satisfied by the end result, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Bayern will be thrilled, I think, with the way that they control big swathes of the game in Paris. Milan, I think, will just be delighted to get back-to-back wins in all competitions, back-to-back clean sheets. When you're really struggling, which they have been in 2023, those steps in the right direction are critical.
To the Parc des Princes first, where Paris Saint-Germain took on Bayern. Kevin was watching alongside commentator Phil Blacker.
There's Choupo-Moting for Bayern as it's played into his feet, corner of the penalty area. Alphonso Davies takes over and then whips in a good ball for Kingsley Coman. Takes the shot on first time, right footed, and the goalkeeper got down but couldn't keep it out. Donnarumma was deceived and Bayern made the breakthrough.
He comes in off the back of Nuno Mendes, who has no idea he's coming in. Hits it first time and he hits it low, that's the key. He manages to get it low, skidding along the ground, and Donnarumma is a big guy, he just can't quite get down in time.
Straight back to Upamecano, who's able to step in and win the ball back for Bayern, and then some wonderful work from Musiala over on that far side. He skips into space as a result of that. Nuno Mendes trying to get back to it, plays it into Choupo-Moting, whose right-footed effort comes back off the post. Another big Bayern chance, just brushing past the fingertips of Donnarumma on the way.
That is an amazing save. That is an incredible piece of goalkeeping. I think that's going in. I think if he doesn't get a touch to that, I think that's going in.
Good ball down that left-hand side for Mbappe, and he's in behind here. Good save by Sommer, came out quickly. Neymar trying to pick up the pieces, gets the shot away right-footed, bounces back to him, gets the shot away left-footed, saved but only at the feet of Mbappe. He's going to turn it in as they appeal for offside, and the flag does go up. Nuno Mendes turns away from Gnabry and takes two Bayern players out of the equation. Again, he's done brilliantly. He's picked out Messi. It's the deflected away and behind. It's a brilliant block actually, because Lionel Messi's effort was on target from really dangerous territory.
Yeah, it was packed full of chances, but it was one goal from Kingsley Coman which was the difference. Got the winner against Paris in the final in 2020, and he did it again. Didn't celebrate once more against his former club. Phil, over the course of the 90 minutes, did Bayern do enough to win the game? Did they deserve to win the game?
I think they did over the course of the game. Yeah, they started very strongly. They were much the better side, I felt, in the first half, dictating the tempo of the game. Paris struggled really to get into it. They only had one attempt at goal in the first half. And actually, at the start of the second period, both teams changed it tactically, and Paris were probably having their best spell, started much stronger in the second period when that Kingsley Coman goal went in, and it rocked the home team back again. It wasn't until late in the game that they then began really to believe and to push players forward and to look like they were going to score that equalising goal, and they came so close on a number of occasions to doing so. Mbappe in particular was away and celebrating before VAR pulled that one back for a close offside call against Nuno Mendes. But those are the sort of margins that decide ties like this, I guess. So Bayern will be pleased. They will feel that they deserve it, I'm sure, and I agree that they do. But they also have further chances, and Choupo-Moting on a couple of occasions at least was denied by Donnarumma, hit the post. They may feel that they should be further clear going into that second leg, because there's no way, whatever the circumstances, when there's only one goal between these teams, that this tie is anything like remotely decided.
And no away goals, of course. A change at the start of last season. Kevin, Bayern were dominant for large swathes of the match, as Phil said, that disallowed goal, correctly disallowed by VAR, but we've seen the replay. It was one of those which was half a boot offside, and just goes to show Kylian Mbappe wasn't fit enough to start, but as soon as he came on, Paris looked a far more threatening outfit.
Yeah, he's a difference maker, and against Bayern, what you have to do is you have to pose a threat in behind. It's what Eintracht Frankfurt did against them in the Bundesliga recently with Rondell Kolomouani. If you have that ability to just put something in their mind that they can't push too far onto you, because they can't get Upamecano too involved in the build-up, because then, bang, you'll hit them on the counter and suddenly you're away and clear. So that's a big part of the dynamic for the second leg. That was a really impressive night from Julian Nagelsmann. Thought you got his tactics spot on in the first part of the game, because what they did was they put Joao Cancelo out on the right-hand side and Kingsley Coman out on the left. And the switches, especially to Coman on the left, were on all half. Paris never responded until half-time, when they went to a back three and Christophe Galtier seemed to have sorted it out. But the goal comes from that kind of moment, because Alphonso Davies comes on at half-time. Great movement from Choupo-Moting. It drags Marquinhos out. It drags Sergio Ramos out. And suddenly you've got space for Alphonso Davies. Perfect cross. Nuno Mendes, great going forward, but he ball watches a bit defensively. It's exactly what he did there. Suddenly Coman's there. So it's a big tick against Nagelsmann's name, because time and time again he made little tweaks that just fought a few fires here and there.
It's not often that Paris have beaten at home. In fact, it's almost 2 years since they last lost a home game, which was against Manchester City in this competition. And it's now three consecutive defeats for them in three different competitions. Yes, this tie is still very much alive, but added to defeat at the weekend against Monaco and against Marseille in the French Cup, it will pile the pressure on them as well. And Bayern will hope to take advantage of that. But of course, a lot can change in 3 weeks' time, and Kylian Mbappe is likely to be a lot fitter by then.
I think the biggest concern from a Paris point of view was the lack of intensity in the first half. It was far too easy for Bayern. I mean, I've said all this about Nagelsmann's tactical scheme, and it was very impressive. And the Bayern players stuck to the plan. But they weren't really getting in people's faces. They weren't really busting a gut to close the spaces. And Bayern found it very easy to set the tempo. And there were boos from the crowd in the first half, because I don't think they could believe how easy it was for Bayern to just do their thing. And it was only really Neymar, actually, and Sergio Ramos that tried to put their stamp on it. Sergio Ramos, I thought, was outstanding defensively. And Neymar, even though he was giving away free kicks and charging around, at least he was trying to affect the game in that first half.
We've seen Paris Saint-Germain be hurt so often in the knockout stages, including last season when it really looked like they were going through and Real Madrid had that extraordinary comeback and went through. It looked a different Paris team this evening, though. Actually, it was almost their mental strength that meant that Bayern couldn't win by more. And as you mentioned, Phil, that they might be sitting there, despite the fact they've become the first team in a long while to win at the Parc des Princes, thinking in 3 weeks' time we could be starting the second leg with a much bigger advantage, given some of the dominance they had.
I think so. It's fascinating how psychologically that might play a part in 3 weeks. And as I say, a lot can happen, of course, between now and then. And both teams have got a lot of football to play between then. There are moments that Bayern will reflect on and say, yes, we should have done that better. We should have been further clear. But equally, Paris were a fraction away from that equalising goal. As you mentioned, Chris, it was so close, the offside against Nuno Mendes. And had one of those late opportunities gone in, which on another day they would have done, they'd be starting with everything to play for all square again. So both teams, I think, will take positives from this. But if the game in its entirety, if you take it as an isolated contest, as Kev mentioned, it's a triumph for Julian Nagelsmann, because Bayern were better, and I think they did more of what they wanted to do than Paris were able to, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the only real blot on the copybook is the red card for Benjamin Pavard late on, because he's out of the second leg. He hasn't been in his best this season, I think that's fair to say. I think he was affected by the fact that he lost his place at the World Cup to Jules Koundé. I think that's going to affect any player, especially if you've won the tournament, a few years before that. So there was just a sign that he's not quite himself, in the sense that the first yellow card is silly because he goes straight through the back of Neymar. He doesn't need to do it. And normally he wouldn't do that necessarily. He did actually do a pretty good job of walking that disciplinary tightrope, but then he slides for a loose ball. He misses it. He's a bit panicked because Lionel Messi's driving towards the box. He just gets it wrong. Where that could be significant is it might force Julian Nagelsmann into basically having a back four, and he won't have that extra protection for De Ligt and Upamecano, because I thought the back three in general worked okay. They had a few malfunctions here and there, but generally they were okay. But Paris is still very much in this, and they will look at it and think, okay, well, we've got the firepower to do damage anywhere.
Yep.
So they are still very much in this, but they're going to have more intensity from the get-go in Munich, no question.
And in recent history, they have been to the Fußball Arena München, and they have won with a terrific away performance. Quickly on the two goalkeepers, Gianluigi Donnarumma was beaten, ball sort of squirmed under him, but he made at least one amazing save and a couple of other very good stops. So he ultimately had a good night. And Jan Sommer as well, who anyone who's watched him at Borussia Mönchengladbach or with Switzerland knows what a top goalkeeper is, but having come in to replace the injured Manuel Neuer, he made some big saves as well.
Yeah, relished the stage, didn't he? Which is, you know, what he's been brought in to do, and we'll be delighted to leave with the clean sheet. Some hairy moments towards the end, but did everything, I think, that Nagelsmann could have asked from him. And Donnarumma at the other end, the goal is one that I'm sure he will look at and maybe blame himself, but it's one that kind of looks worse for a goalkeeper than it maybe was.
Yeah.
He was a little bit deceived, and the way that Kingsley Coman took the goal, I thought was brilliant, the way that he found the finish and created the angle, and that's what made it difficult for Donnarumma to get down in time. And as you mentioned, Chris, he more than played his part with the save that he did make to keep the scoreline down. But as a goalkeeper, that is one, I think, that will niggle at him.
The thing about Sommer's really interesting, because if you look at times gone by in the Champions League when Manuel Neuer's been injured, they've relied on Sven Ulreich, who is a perfectly good goalkeeper, very experienced, has been Bayern's backup for a long, long time. However, at this level, which, let's not forget, this is the highest level, if you make errors, they get punished. And he has. And he's done that in competitions. Bayern said, right, we know Manuel Neuer is going to be out for the rest of the season. What do we do? Do we rely on Sven Ulreich, who we know and has been around for a long time, or do we go out and get a world-class goalkeeper? It's not easy to go out and get a world-class goalkeeper halfway through a season.
No.
But I think Sommer's the best in the Bundesliga, and I think he has been for quite some time. And he showed it, because when Mbappe was racing through, there aren't many goalkeepers who can come out and make the kind of save he made against him. So I think that will prove to be a very smart pickup by Bayern.
A couple of very noticeable stats. Kingsley Coman, of course, who we mentioned, against his former club, scoring again. 50th Champions League appearance. 39 times he's been on the winning team now, which is pretty extraordinary. It is the best record, actually. So Kingsley Coman doing the business again. And Warren Zaire-Emery, Champions League history, which we always love. 16 years and 343 days, the youngest player ever to start a Champions League knockout stage game, which it is remarkable. Kev, how did you think he did? He played in a number of positions, and he showed just why Christophe Galtier is happy to throw him in these huge games.
Yeah, I thought the first half was hard for him, because what happened was he was playing nominally as a wide right, but what was actually happening was that they were trying to pin Hakimi back by switching the ball constantly out to Kingsley Coman, and the game passed him by a bit in the first half. When Galtier made the change and he went to three at the back and he could actually just hug the touchline, he seemed to know what he was doing a lot more, because I think it was less ambiguous for him. He just said, right, take on Alphonso Davies, see if you can get past him. And he did that a couple of times, and we know that's not Davies' game. He doesn't like running back towards his own goal. So I thought he did a decent job. The kid's 16.
Yeah.
He doesn't look 16. He's built. I mean, he's strong. I think he's going to be a remarkable player because he's got that maturity.
Phil, what was that stat that you mentioned? He was born in 2006.
He was born after both Lionel Messi and Sergio Ramos had made their Champions League debuts. In fact, the very day he was born, March the 8th, 2006, Sergio Ramos was playing in the round of 16 that night in the Champions League for Real Madrid against Arsenal. It puts it all into perspective, doesn't it?
I mean, really? I feel ancient now.
Well, I was going to say, you do, I do, Phil does, everybody listening does, but he was terrific. So was Sergio Ramos, actually. Wonderful to see him back marshalling the defence. And as we've mentioned, it might have been more for Bayern had it not been for the Spanish star.
You made a really important point, actually, Chris, about how it did feel a bit different with Paris. And they have actually been a bit flaky in recent games. They were anything but. I thought Marquinhos played well. I thought Sergio Ramos was outstanding. The goal is the only time, really, where both of those got pulled out of position. And that was really clever movement by Choupo-Moting. And they both went and got pulled out of position. But generally, they were very, very good. That could be critically important in that second leg.
Yeah, the tie very much alive. Remember, no away goals in the Champions League. And it is going to be Bayern who have a slender 1-0 advantage to take to Munich in 3 weeks' time. Still to come, we'll look at Tuesday's other match in the competition and preview Wednesday's UEFA Champions League round of 16 first legs.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Next to Italy, where Tottenham took on Milan at Stadio San Siro, Jonathan Beck was watching.
Here comes Teo Hernandez into the area, rifles it across. Forster has made a double save, but it's forced over the line. And Milan have got the first blood inside 6.5 minutes. Brilliant follow-up. Two saves from Forster, the first from Teo Hernandez, the second from close range. But it's forced over the line, and the early advantage goes Stefano Pioli's way. It is Milan 1, Tottenham 0. Leao, left-hand side, hugging the touchline, faced by Richarlison. Manages to get the cross into Giroud. It's a free header, and it's caught just on the line by Ivan Perisic. Tottenham can't get it away. Back it goes to Leao, still on the left-hand side. Right-footed cross, free header is wide. Had to go in. Should have been two from Malik Thiaw. Instead, Tottenham escape again.
Well, they are one of the most famous teams in the history of this competition. Only Real Madrid have lifted the trophy more often than Milan. They're back in the knockout stage, and they, as you just heard from Jonathan, beat Tottenham by a goal to nil. After 6 minutes and 24 seconds, Brahim Diaz's strike was the fastest goal for Milan in a Champions League knockout game since Ronaldinho against Manchester United in February 2010. And Jonathan, Milan haven't had the best time of it results-wise in 2023. But, I mean, that is a massive victory and an excellent advantage to take to London.
Yeah, they'd only just ended a seven-game winless run, a four-match losing streak against Torino 4 days ago. And yes, back-to-back 1-0 wins, back-to-back clean sheets, and a first-ever victory over Tottenham. It's only the second time in 18 games against English opposition that they've come out on top. The other was against Arsenal just a year after they'd lost 1-0 in San Siro to Spurs, thanks to Peter Crouch's goal, the last time these two had met in a tie before tonight. So no joy for Antonio Conte. He's got such a good record against AC Milan, the city rivals of Internazionale, where he coached for 2 years. He got the better of them on most occasions, but not tonight. They were controlled well. They only managed a couple of efforts on target. Harry Kane's threat was nullified, first mostly by Simon Kjær, who was literally wrapping him up on some occasions. Then by Malik Thiaw, who, as you heard, probably should have scored to make it more comfortable for Milan. And Son didn't offer much from open play. Kulusevski was replaced in the second half by Richarlison, who also wasn't able to feature. I have to say, Skip and Papsar did well, anchoring the central midfield, made that back three look a little more secure. Milan not able to go through the middle of them like Leicester City were on the last Premier League game. So Spurs will harbour hopes of turning it round at home at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, but they just did not get their attacking game going in this one at all.
Jonathan, it feels like the continuation of a couple of running themes for Tottenham. The first of which is the slow starts behind inside the first 7 minutes. And the second really is this inability sometimes to progress the ball to the front three. We know they've got incredible firepower, but if you can't get the ammunition to them, it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, and Kane, you know, kept on dropping deep. Sometimes he was in his own half, and more often than not when he did, it was Simon Kjær that actually followed him all the way, wrapped him up, stopped him linking play up. And those behind him were there mainly as a screen. You know, Skip and Sarr were doing their best to shield the likes of Longley, Dyer and Romero. Perisic and Emerson tried to progress things. Mostly they tried down the right rather than the left-hand side. And Emerson and Kulusevski in the first half were the ones tasked with trying to get in behind the back of Milan. But they just couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Spurs unable to link things up. Kane... nominally, you know, the front man, but actually, more often than not, he was the one dropping a little deeper. Son running in behind. His set pieces were dangerous, but you're right, from open play, it was really difficult to see and to bet on Spurs actually making inroads into the defence and really testing Cyprian Tatarusanu. It wasn't really a game for strikers, I have to say. Giroud was really peripheral in the first half, only featured as a man to knock things on in the second. He set up Charles de Ketelaere for a really good chance, which Ivan Perisic was able to clear off the line, but neither front man really stamped their mark on this.
Jonathan, we heard the roar in your commentary when they scored. San Siro, it was a full house. It was a magical display before kickoff. And how good was it to see this you know, storied club of the Champions League and the European Cup back on this stage, where they haven't been for, you know, for a generation really of supporters and players?
Yeah, it's been a long, long time. They were well beaten in the last appearance at this stage by Atletico Madrid in their prime in 13-14. They last reached the quarter-final the year before, 11-12 actually. It's just been far, far too long. They've seen their, I was going to say city rivals, they're much closer than that, aren't they? Their stadium rivals, Internazionale, you know, win the competition and regularly qualify for the competition. That first Scudetto under Pioli for some time has not really, though, shepherded in a new era. You know, Napoli have been head and shoulders above everybody in the Champions League as well as in the Serie A so far. Inter much, much better off as well, although they only drew 0-0 with second bottom Sampdoria at the weekend, or last night actually. It's just been really, really difficult for Milan to see everybody passing them, and then having got this title, they just have not been able to build and move on. They know they didn't perhaps get the players that they needed in the summer to carry on that dynasty, if you like. But so nice, so good to see such a big name in this competition back in the knockout stages where they belong. And they've got, you know, a big chance now to go to London and protect what they've earned.
They certainly have. Let's hear from one of their stars on Tuesday, Alexis Salamakers.
I think that we can be very happy about our performance because we train a lot for this game. It was important for us to win today and to take this win before going to Tottenham, and we did it. So we are very happy in the dressing room, and we will now work hard for this return game. Yeah, I think maybe it's the only regret we can have that we are going to Tottenham just with 1-0. But yeah, the most important was the job to win the game, and we did it. So we're very happy.
And how about from a Tottenham perspective? Here is their coach, Antonio Conte.
I think we played against a good team. Don't forget Milan last season won the league in Italy. Yeah, I think that to consider the first goal, we can do much better. I think we can do much better. Instead, we consider a goal maybe after only 5 minutes. Then we tried to lead the game. We tried to create a situation or to score. But I think Milan defended very well. We had the opportunity to score, but at the end we are talking about a defeat, a loss.
Milan happy, excellent performance. They take a 1-0 lead to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in 3 weeks' time. OK, the last 16 then underway. Continues on Wednesday. Borussia Dortmund against Chelsea will be our commentary match on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Fascinating game, joined by Kevin Hatchard again, who watches the Bundesliga on a daily basis, and Phil Blacker, who covers Chelsea in the English Premier League. We'll start with Dortmund. Kev, how are they? They've had an excellent 2023 so far, and do you sense that they believe they can get the better of Chelsea over two legs?
Yeah, I think they will. They're certainly in a good position at the moment. They've moved to within 3 points of Bayern in the Bundesliga title race. Don't think anybody saw that coming. They've won every game since the World Cup break. Jude Bellingham's been outstanding in midfield. No surprises there. But they've had contributions from elsewhere. Gio Reyna scored a couple of really important last-gasp goals to win games. Karim Adeyemi, who's had a slow start since coming in from Salzburg, has suddenly come to the party. But the most significant thing on and off the field has been the recovery of Sebastian Haller, because he was diagnosed, as people may or may not know, with testicular cancer in the off-season. And he has had the all clear and is back playing football, which is testament to him and a testament to all of the treatment he's received. And he recently scored his first goal for Dortmund in front of the famous Yellow Wall. And the noise, Chris. Honestly, the noise, the atmosphere. It was one of the most heartwarming moments the Bundesliga has seen in a long time. And I don't think you can, you know, you look at the intangibles like that, it does make a difference. I know it seems schmaltzy, but it does make a big difference. It could just unify a group of players. And they're in a really good moment at the moment. But it's just whether Chelsea can actually make it all click.
Yeah, I mean, it's human nature, right, as well. And of course, we saw last season Sebastian Haller, his goal-scoring exploits in the Champions League. And to have him hopefully playing in the knockout stage, whatever happens on the pitch, will be one of the great stories, actually.
And that's the other thing. It's not only a great story to see him back, and it's lovely, and he's healthy, and he's playing. He's a hell of a footballer as well.
He is.
And that gives them that focal point in attack, especially with Youssoufa Moukoko injured at the moment.
Well, when it comes to Chelsea, of course, they were very busy in January. Seven significant signings. We'll see how many line up at the BVB Stadium. And their boss, Graham Potter, knows that all of the arrivals will bring extra attention on the Blues.
Well, of course, there's more pressure and expectation that when you spend money, there is a 2 + 2 = 4, which is you should win. Thankfully, we know that football doesn't work exactly like that. Because, you know, you need resources to win, don't get me wrong, but I think you need more than that. And that's the challenge. That's the more than that money doesn't buy you. So you have to, that's where you have to do your work. You don't always have to have the big guns and the big ammo, but sometimes it helps as well.
Graham Potter there, really honest, Phil. And it is going to be so interesting on Wednesday and for the next weeks and months to see how he makes all those signings click. Of course, he admitted he'd never even seen a Champions League match before he took over midway through the group stage.
That's another factor, isn't it? It's so fascinating, I think, just to see how they're going to get on. You could tell me that they would win the Champions League this season, or that they crash out against Dortmund, and I would accept either as equally likely, really. I have no idea how it's going to go. I really rate Graham Potter as a coach. It's fascinating to see how he's going to approach this tie. And as Kev mentioned, how he fits all these pieces together. There's so many unknowns. In a way, that might work in their favour, because Dortmund won't necessarily know what to expect either. But if they do get it right, the talent is there, clearly.
Cannot wait for this game. Full match commentary, as I mentioned, on Wednesday on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. The other game on Wednesday, Club Brugge, who were so brilliant in the group stage against Benfica, who have been so brilliant under Roger Schmidt, even if they did lose Enzo Fernandez to Chelsea in January. They have some serious talent, Benfica, and that will be a very interesting game in Belgium as well. Let's quickly go back to Tuesday night. Bayern beating Paris Saint-Germain by 1-0, and we can hear now from Jamal Musiala.
We all know what an amazing player he is, and we want that he's fit. He's an amazing player to watch. And I think, as I said before, the second leg will be very entertaining. And when they're all fit, they're very dangerous.
Musiala speaking about Kylian Mbappe there, and he knows Kevi is not over at all. Your moment of the evening, please, as the round of 16 got underway.
I'm going to say the save from Donnarumma at 1-0, because I know that obviously he'll feel a little bit at fault with the goal, but it was a wonderful piece of keeping.
It was. I will go for the goal because of the significance. Again, what a story. Kingsley Coman scoring once more and setting Bayern up for a valuable victory, a vital victory, but certainly not a decisive one yet. But it was a brilliantly taken goal and it deserved, I think, to win a match such as that.
I think for Milan, it's got to be Brahim Diaz's early goal. They took the early initiative and they never really lost it. They might have got more, but that is the overriding big moment in what was a very tight game.
Certainly was. So slender advantages for Milan and for Bayern after the round of 16 got underway. That is all we have time for. We are back on Wednesday, though, from 8 p.m. CET on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live on the Champions League app and on UEFA.com. Full commentary, Dortmund against Chelsea, live updates, Club Brugge against Benfica. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.